This is the Book Club at 91.7 on WVXU and WMUB. I'm Mark Purcell. Thanks again for tuning in on this Saturday morning. Coming up on Thursday, the 5th of March, at Joe Beth Rookwood Pavilion at 7 o'clock, you'll have a chance to meet Cincinnati native Matthew Patrick, whose new book is called Downing Dora 9. It is a piece of alternate history fiction that he is joining me in the studio to talk about today. Not only that, but the process he went through and his publishing house, Paradrome Press. Good morning, Matthew Patrick, and welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Good morning. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Alternate history fiction, aviation-related alternate history fiction is how it's been billed in the missives I've been receiving. Explain, folks, exactly what that is.
Okay, well, let's start with the aviation bit. Downing Dora 9 is about the early days of aviation. It's about flyers in their airplanes, pilots in their airships. It's about admirals and generals and inventors and spies. And I guess if you were to open up the book and look at some of the illustrations, you might say, oh, this is about the early days of World War I aviation. But there's a catch. It's set in a historical world that's actually very different from the one that you and I learned about in school. In this historical world, the United States doesn't exist. It doesn't exist because a long time ago, in the late 1700s, the Constitution was never ratified. So at the time the story is set, in 1915, North America is occupied by five separate nations, the nation of Carolina, the nation of Virginia, the nation of Pennsylvania, the nation of New York, and the nation of Massachusetts. And, of course, these nations don't get along too well. So that's the alternate historical backdrop of the novel.
So why go down this path, Matt? I was curious as I was reading. I mean, it's fascinating because it really allows you to invent a world of your own and a history of your own. And it was sort of fun because you lay down the foundation for the book in the beginning, talking about this alternate history and how the 13 colonies kind of dissolved and end up being these five nation states. Europe, kind of like we see it, but very different. Why did you decide to rewrite history?
Okay, well, you know, I didn't start that way. I would say, you know, one of the things that got me to think about writing about aviation, about 15 years ago, I started reading the novels of Patrick O'Brien. Mm. And he's written a whole series of novels set in the British Navy back in the time of the Napoleonic Wars and the Men of War, and just did a wonderful job of creating character-based stories with the backdrop of this naval setting. And I can remember when I was reading those novels how great it would be if there were a series of novels that were set with aviation as the backdrop. So that's where the idea started. I thought, well, maybe I can do that. And at first I started writing within a true historical world. And it wasn't very long before I started chafing at the constraint of having to comply with real history. Mm-hmm. And I need something that will allow me a little bit more creative freedom. And fate kind of stepped in at that point. I was at a business dinner with some of my work colleagues. And this was shortly after 9/11, and it was when there was a lot of discussion in the press about weapons of mass destruction, and there was a lot of debate going on about whether we should invade Iraq or not. And I was at this dinner, and the subject came up for discussion. And two of my colleagues are Americans. One of them was from Texas, and they were just adamant that, yes, we should go in and look for those weapons, even if it meant a war. And then I had another colleague who was from the Netherlands, and he was as adamant that we should not do that. And I just remember thinking it was interesting how divergent their opinions were. And of course, I came to the conclusion at the time that, well, I guess if my parents and my grandparents had gone through World War I and World War II, that I might have a similar view. And I wonder how my American colleagues would feel if World War I and World War II had happened in the U.S. And at that moment, it clicked. Hmm. And I thought, oh, that's what I'll do. I will export World War I and World War II to the United States. That will give me the freedom to recreate aviation history as I like. So it really just came out of a desire for creative freedom.
Matthew Patrick, he's the author of Downing Dora 9, a piece of aviation-related alternate history fiction, available where books are sold. You can learn more about it at wvxu.org. He will be at Joseph Beth Rookwood Pavilion Thursday at 7 o'clock for a book signing. And I said aviation-related alternate history. I left out the illustrated part. Now, talk about this being an illustrated novel, something we don't see very often these days. Describe the illustrator, because you mentioned the illustrations and looking
right,
at gorgeous,
right.
gorgeous illustrations here in Downing Dora 9.
So, you know, my career as a novelist is relatively new, but my brother, John, has been working as an illustrator for his whole career. He got his bachelor's in illustration from the Art Academy of Cincinnati and went on to do some graduate work out at the University of Iowa. And he's been very successful at illustration. He's worked in advertising and editorial illustration and book illustration. So I've been in and around his artwork for my whole life. And it was just a kind of a natural thing that when I started writing a piece of fiction that I would turn to him and say, "Hey, you want to illustrate it? And we'll do this as a project." And I actually think when you're writing speculative fiction about worlds that are a bit different from the world we live in, it really helps a lot to have some visual art go along with it. And so he agreed, and his illustrations are fantastic. Something that might be surprising to a lot of readers. If you look at them, you can see a lot of brush strokes, and you just automatically assume that they were created using paint.
In the analog way.
In the analog world. And he actually did them completely digitally on the computer. I don't know how he did it, but he did a wonderful job with them.
My friend Will Hillenbrand, the children's author illustrator, has been here, and I've seen him work with that. And, you know, it can look like it's pastels and watercolors, yeah. and they do some amazing stuff. John's illustrations for Downing Dora 9 are quite attractive, too. I did wonder if there were specific illustrations that you asked for, or did you let him be inspired about which illustrations he thought might be best for the book?
Yeah, it's interesting. There is a much less dialogue between us about how to do this than you would expect. I mean, we're brothers. We've lived our whole lives together. We both have pretty vivid imaginations that are sort of aligned. And, you know, we grew up watching all the great movies in the 80s, Star Wars, Blade Runner, The Sting, Jaws. And so when I would give him a chapter and say, "Well, why don't you just do what you want?" He would bring back something, and it was absolutely perfect. And you know, every once in a while, he's not into aviation as I am, so we had to have some technical discussions about how airplanes are constructed and how they're designed. But the general mood and impression of the illustrations, he took that from the writing, and it just worked out that it's completely aligned with how I imagined these scenes in my mind.
You had inspiration for your interest in aviation from your father, right?
I did. My father served in the Army in the 82nd Airborne, and when he got out of the service, he got involved in the very first days of sport skydiving. And some of my earliest memories are images of parachutes and airplanes that came from some of the jump meets that he attended around the Cincinnati area. And I think that must have had a very significant impact on me and sparked the interest in aviation. And then since then, I've carried on and learned how to fly and been in and around aviation my whole life. So, yeah, I give him credit for both sparking my interest in aviation and sparking my interest in literature.
This is Matthew Patrick, the author of Downing Dora 9. It's published by Paradrome Press, and you can learn more about it at wvxu.org. And I bring up Paradrome Press as well, Matthew, because this is a publishing house that you created, and talk about having some family input. Not only did you receive inspiration from your dad for this book, your brother is illustrating the book, but I hear you have other family members involved in this endeavor as well.
I do. It is Paradrome Press is the definition of a family business. So I'm doing the writing. My brother's doing the illustrating. My wife is doing all the digital work. She designed the book. She's handled all of the IT-related activities associated with an ebook. And my mother is the text editor, so and she's a very detail-oriented person. So I don't get away with breaking very many rules of style with her looking over my shoulders. Yeah, the decision to self-publish, I guess there were a few reasons, and I'll have to admit that one of the big reasons had to do with all the horror stories I've heard about new writers trying to navigate through the world of publishing and all of the rejections that they receive before they finally hit pay dirt. And I thought, well, I'm not sure I want to go through all that, so maybe I'll just try it myself. And I've been working in business for decades, and I've developed a lot of skills that while I was unfamiliar with publishing, I thought perhaps those skills would help me move into that world. And then maybe the third reason, writing is a very isolating activity. And while I'm quite happy to sit at my desk in a room and write for a few days at a time, I'm not sure that I could do that all the time. And doing a publishing business in parallel to writing gives me the opportunity. I can wake up in the morning and decide, well, today I'm going to focus on my writing. Or, no, today I feel like being around people a little bit more, and I can go and be around my family, and we can work on some of the activities associated with publishing. And it's turned out I'm enjoying the business aspect of publishing as much as I'm enjoying the creative process of writing.
Well, Downing Dora 9 is the first in what you're calling the Sovereign States Omni-Epic series of illustrated novels. And I wanted to have you share what you're hoping that this Omni-Epic series will become, because you've created this I'm presuming it means you've created this alternate history, this alternate universe, and you are trying to find people who would be welcome to contribute stories to this.
Yeah, if I think about my mental image of aviation and World War I and World War II, it's not based on personal experience. I wasn't alive in either of those periods of history, but I got a very deep and textured image of this part of history. And that comes from a wide variety of media sources. I mean, there's fiction. There are movies, there are magazines, there are technical books, a wide variety of media sources. And theoretically, if one were to present that variety of media sources to a reader from a fictional perspective, one ought to be able to develop just as deep and textured a world. I think a good example of that is what Tolkien did with Lord of the Rings. Most people are familiar with The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, but there's a much greater depth associated with those stories because of the history he created, the mythology he created, even the languages that he created. So at this point, it's an intention, it's a goal to expand the types of media formats for conveying the story. And okay, by default, that means it's actually a pretty big initiative. So I would love to have help in creating this world. We'll see if it appeals to enough people to want to contribute to it. I think an example of that in today's literary world is how Star Wars is handled. The Star Wars franchise has multiple authors with characters that they're managing, but it's all done within a consistent world.
So you're making that consistent world and hoping other creative types will join you in it.
Exactly. That's the hope. Unfortunately, most of it's in my head right now, and now I got to get it down on paper.
The hard copy of the book has been out since Thanksgiving of last year.
That's right.
What has been reaction from readers about Downing Dora 9?
So far, the reaction has been really good. One of my concerns was that, you know, there's a bit of character, a bit of exaggeration in how the characters and how the story are handled. And, you know, one of my concerns were that maybe those that are hardcore folks that are into aviation might take exception to that creative license. But it's been received really well. Everyone seems to be enjoying it in the spirit in which it's intended. And I've received enough encouragement that my brother and I are hard at work in the next one.
Excellent. Well, thank you for being here today. I appreciate you stopping by and taking some time to share your story.
It's been great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Matthew Patrick, his book is Downing Dora 9, the first in the Sovereign States Omni Epic series of illustrated novels. Published by Paradrome Press. You can learn more about Paradrome Press and Matthew and his illustrator brother, John, on our website, wvxu.org. And Matthew and John will be at Joseph F. Rookwood Pavilion Thursday at 7 o'clock for a discussion and signing. Details about that on our website as well. This is the Book Club at 91.7.